Today on the Afternoon Magazine, something we hope you'll relish. Pickling. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Our guest this afternoon is master gardener and master food preserver Linda Zedrick. She'll tell us all about all kinds of pickling possibilities, including asparagus, cherries, cucumbers, of course, ginger, jalapenos, peaches, tomatoes, walnuts, and zucchini. And that, believe me, is just a partial list. She'll also tell us how simple it is to make pickles and how quickly we can make a jar of pickles. So if you have questions about how to pickle, if you need some troubleshooting advice, or you'd like a recipe for something new, give us a call. Here are the phone numbers. In Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Outside Champaign-Urbana, toll-free 1-800-222-9455. Linda Zedrick is the author of The Joy of Pickling, 200 flavor-packed recipes for all kinds of produce from garden or market. Fans of the book include Roger Swain, the host of The Victory Garden, Chuck Williams, the founder of Williams-Sonoma, and Martin Yan of the television show Yan Can Cook. Zedrick lives on a farm in Oregon with her husband and her three children. She's also the author of a cookbook devoted to cold soups. It's titled Cold Soups.
Both cucumber pickles, and he wanted me to buy a lot at the store. Well, they're expensive at the store, and they have additives that I didn't particularly want him to have. So I thought, well, why don't I grow cucumbers, which I'd never done before. So I started growing cucumbers and making vinegar pickles with cucumbers. And soon I got interested in brining and started brining cucumbers. Well, once you start doing that, it's so interesting. It's like making bread or wine or beer. You get very interested in the fermentation process, so I had to start brining other things. I started looking for information on the subject of pickling and found out that there's very little available. So eventually I had to write a book.
Does your son, Ben, enjoy all the pickles you make? He's the guy that set you out on this pickling process of pickling cucumbers and, you know, moved you from fruit onto all these other kinds of things.
All three of my children enjoy a lot of pickles, but they're tired of having pickles two or three times a day. So I'm not pickling as much this year as I have in the past few years.
You know, I was actually wondering about that. You and your family, you know, maybe there was a sign above the front door that says, "We are pickles." Because putting together this book, there's lots of how-to information and all kinds of recipes, 200 recipes. So you had to have, you know, subjected your family to a lot of pickles.
Yeah, well, they like pickles better than cold soups. They're really tired of those. So we still have cold soup often. You know, we have our favorites. Can't give those up.
So now, can the kids suggest to you the topic of your next cookbook?
They haven't yet.
Maybe they should. Maybe it should be something like ice creams or chocolate cakes or something.
They would love that.
I suppose they'd get tired of that, too.
They'd never tire of desserts.
Yeah. Are pickles found throughout the world?
They sure are, throughout most of the world, at least. In some places, of course, they're more important to the cuisine than elsewhere, especially in cold places like Russia and Korea. And that's because pickling is first and foremost a way of preserving foods in times of plenty for the months when there's little fresh food available.
Mm-hmm. It's a very old art, but most of us probably don't pickle anymore. We buy our pickles at the store or through catalogs and whatnot.
I feel really lucky to live in rural Oregon because the people around me almost all pickle. They almost all grow at least some of their food and have various ways of preserving it. And anytime I get into a conversation with local people, I learn a lot of interesting things.
Mm. Well, I was surprised to learn how simple it can be, that you can make a quart at a time. You don't need to. You know, when I think of preserving and canning, I think of just a monumental task, but it's not, it doesn't have to be so.
That's true. For people who live in cities with tiny kitchens, they can still make pickles and keep them in their refrigerator, and they won't have so many that they're going to get tired of them, even if there's only one person in the household.
Yeah. There's more than one way to pickle. Would you walk us through the two basic kinds of pickles? Give us a brief description of them.
The two basic kinds are vinegar pickles, which are in which fruits or vegetables are preserved with either pure vinegar or a mixture of vinegar and water. The other kind is brined pickles, and those are also called fermented pickles because the vegetable and sometimes fruit is left in salt water long enough that it ferments through bacterial action, and that bacteria produces an acid that preserves the vegetables just the way that vinegar does.
Now, fermented pickles or brined pickles, in addition to salt, usually include vinegar, and vinegar pickles usually include salt, right?
Yeah, vinegar pickles almost always include salt, though you could make pickles. If you're on a salt-free diet, you could make pickles by just pouring, say, pure vinegar over cucumbers. And if you have them well submerged and the jar well sealed, it doesn't have to be sealed through a heat process. You could store them on a shelf in the cupboard. but generally, you want to add salt. Usually vegetables are salted or put into a brine before they're put into jars. It firms their texture and enhances their flavor.
Now, what kind of salt and what kind of vinegar are to be used?
Well, you want to use pure salt. And what I use is something that's labeled in stores as canning and pickling salt, and that's just fine, pure salt. You don't want to use table salt because it has additives which are supposed to keep it from sticking together. It makes it possible for it to pour even in really humid weather. But those additives cloud a brine.
Mm.
So you want pure salt. You can use kosher salt, but because it's got larger particles, it's less dense than other salt, and so you need to use more of it. Also, when you make a brine with kosher salt, you have to heat the water with the salt in it to make the salt dissolve, and then you've got to let it cool before pouring it over the cucumbers or other vegetables.
Mm.
And that's more trouble than just stirring fine salt into water.
Yeah.
Pouring it cold over the vegetables, so I like to use the fine salt.
Is pickling salt the same as sea salt?
Yes. If you get what's labeled sea salt in a natural food store, it'll probably be fine, pure salt. But you can't always be certain what you're getting. I've bought sea salt in bulk at supermarkets and found out that it was actually table salt, that it had additives in it. And you can find that out by just stirring it into water, and you never get a clear liquid. It's always a little cloudy.
Mm. And vinegar. Talk with us about vinegar and what kind of vinegar to use.
Okay, there are three basic kinds. There's the distilled white vinegar, which is very inexpensive, but it doesn't have, it has kind of a harsh flavor. I find it fine to use for really sweet pickles like fruit pickles, but generally I prefer to use white wine vinegar, which has a nicer flavor. And, of course, there are different white wine vinegars. Some have nicer flavor than others, but generally the wine vinegar tastes better. You can also use red wine vinegar in some pickles where the color will enhance or at least not detract from the appearance of the pickle. And then there's cider vinegar, which is a very traditional pickling vinegar. The only problem with cider vinegar is that it's also got some color. So if you want a really clear pickling liquid, then you use either white wine or distilled white vinegar.
Mm. What about malt vinegar?
Malt vinegar is used a lot in England. It's hard to find in the United States, but if you can, it tastes great. And I use it for pickled onions, English pub style pickled onions.
Mm-hmm.
It would be worth experimenting with it in other pickles too.
Yeah,
but it again is a dark vinegar.
Yeah, and you're right. You do have to look for it, kind of high and low. What about fruited or herbed vinegars? You know, like blueberry vinegar or raspberry vinegar.
Yeah. If you make the vinegar from the fruit and you test the pH to be sure that it's about 5% acid, then you can use those vinegars. But if you're making a flavored vinegar where you start with some white wine vinegar or distilled white vinegar and mm-hmm. combine it with the fruit,
you should be fine.
You're going to have a lower pH.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So if you get an instrument to test the acidity and you're sure that the acidity is okay, then go ahead and use it. Also, for refrigerator pickles, you don't need as much acid if you're just going to store them for a short time in your refrigerator rather than canning them. But whenever you're canning, you want to be sure that the pickle has enough acid. So the rule of thumb is that the vinegar should be 4 to 6%, usually 5%, and the liquid should be at least 50% vinegar. The rest, of course, is water.
Yeah. In the introduction, I gave a very short list of what can be pickled. What are some of the more unusual things that can be pickled that you enjoy pickling and that maybe when you talk about pickling, people are surprised that you can pickle these things?
Well, turnips are pickled in a lot of places in the world, and I never liked turnips until I started pickling them. So for people who don't like turnips, I suggest pickling them. Nasturtium pods are a traditional pickle. They were very popular at one time in this country and in Europe, and they're very easy to make. It's very easy to make pickled nasturtium pods if you have some nasturtiums growing in your garden. You just pick the fat little green seeds, and they get put into a brine, which is changed for a few days, and then covered with vinegar, and they're wonderful.
Mm.
Pickled walnuts were really popular in the 19th century, and that's an interesting recipe, which I don't think a lot of people will try, because you've got to pick the walnuts when they're green. The hull does not come off. It stays on the whole time. The walnuts usually don't fall from the tree in that state. It's usually about early July, early to mid-July. So you've got to actually pick them off the tree, which might mean climbing the tree. But that's a very interesting pickle, too.
Yeah. And then once you pickle those, and once they've been pickled and they're ready to eat, then you take that husk off, right? Or
No, you don't.
Okay.
You eat it. They get soaked in water for several days. There are a lot of old recipes, and the instructions vary, but it can be about 9 days that they're soaked, and then you may need to leave them in the sun because you want them to turn black. And then you pack them in a jar with vinegar, and you eat them whole, and they're actually quite good.
Yeah, what does the husk of a pickled walnut taste like? It tastes like a pickled walnut husk, right? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure I can describe the flavor.
Yeah.
The vinegar is definitely dominant, and the texture is quite interesting.
And what about the nut inside? Does it remain, you know, pretty much walnut flavored, or does it also take on the flavor of the vinegar?
It takes on the vinegar of the it takes on the flavor of the vinegar, but it's quite small because it's not completely developed.
Right.
It's just it provides an interesting contrast in texture. It's
yeah.
chewy.
Huh.
The skins are more sour and soft.
Very interesting. Our guest this afternoon is Linda Zedrick, and we're talking with her about pickling. I hope to hear from you this afternoon if you're listening. If you've got questions, give us a call in Champaign-Urbana, the number 333-9455. Outside Champaign-Urbana, call us toll-free at 1-800-222-9455. Linda Zedrick is the author of The Joy of Pickling, 200 flavor-packed recipes for all kinds of produce from garden or market. And the book is published by the Harvard Common Press. We've got a caller waiting to talk with us on line one. Hello. We don't quite yet have the caller. Now I think we have the caller. Hello?
Hello?
Hello. You're on the air.
I was wondering, you mentioned kosher salt. I've heard of it all my life. But I'm not sure I know what it is. Has it been blessed by the Jewish priest to make it kosher?
I'm not sure whether it has or not, but it's basically just a coarse salt.
I bet there's somebody in the audience who has the answer to that question. But I think that in kosher products, they have to be manufactured in a certain under certain
conditions,
and then I do believe that. You know, this is my understanding that there is some kind of a traditional blessing given by a rabbi. But I'm sure that somebody in the audience would have a...
Yeah, that's true of kosher foods generally, but I'm not sure if with the salt the word is taken on a different meaning.
I see. There is a mark that is put on kosher products that you can look for, and that denotes kosher.
Yeah, it would say on the box whether it's really kosher.
Yeah.
The name of the product is kosher salt.
Is it sea salt?
Sea salt is a term that's hard to define. All these salts are sea salt. But kosher salt is particularly coarse. A lot of salts sold as sea salt are also coarse, but they can be fine, too.
Does that take care of your questions?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Thank you for your call this afternoon. Other calls are welcome. 333-9455. That's the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, call us toll-free, 1-800-222-9455. Our next caller is on line two in Champaign. Hello.
Hi. I just wonder if your guest had ever had any experience making... I can't remember the name of it. It's the traditional Japanese pickled ginger that's usually served with sushi and sashimi.
Yeah, there's a recipe in her book.
What is that called, that pickled ginger?
Oh, I don't think I have the Japanese name for it.
But you would know how to make it, though. What imparts that red color? I mean, what is that?
That's probably a dye.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, and they use like a rice vinegar or what?
Yeah, I can give you the recipe.
Okay.
But my pickled ginger won't be pink.
Okay.
Okay. You take 4 ounces of ginger root, you peel it and you slice it paper thin. And the younger the ginger, the better. So it shouldn't be fibrous. The root shouldn't look wrinkled. The skin should peel off almost with your fingers when you rub it, okay? So the younger the better, and at certain times of the year, it'll be easier to get really young ginger like that. Okay, so you take 4 ounces, you slice it paper thin, put it into a bowl, cover it with cold water, and let it stand for half an hour. Then drain it, bring a pint of water to a boil in a saucepan. Add the ginger, bring the water back to a boil, Then drain the ginger and let it cool. Put the ginger into a bowl. Sprinkle it lightly with salt. And then in a saucepan, bring to a boil 1/2 cup rice vinegar, 1 1/2 tablespoons sugar, and 1/2 teaspoon salt, pickling salt, and 1/2 teaspoon light Japanese soy sauce. Stir so that the sugar and salt dissolve, and then pour the hot liquid over the ginger. Mix well, and then let the ginger stand for an hour or more before using it.
You can serve it all in one day like that. Just,
that's right.
Wow.
And then you store it in the refrigerator, any that you don't use right away, in a jar that's tightly covered, and it should keep for several months or more.
Does it get better as it ages? Does it change?
It doesn't need to be kept for a long time, but the flavor will probably intensify a little bit.
But it needs to be kept refrigerated.
That's right.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for your call this afternoon. I'm glad the caller mentioned this recipe because I've had this recently out in a restaurant and really enjoyed it and found the recipe in your book and was really pleased at how simple it is to make.
Did you make it?
I haven't made it yet.
Okay.
I will.
I'd like to know if it comes out like the ginger that you had in the restaurant.
No, the ginger I had in the restaurant wasn't red. It was, but it did have a very pale pink kind of color.
Uh-huh.
But it was very good, and it was served with fresh tuna.
Mm.
It was fabulous. Very, very good. Let's take another call. On line 4 in Tangier, Indiana. Hi.
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 I know you're talking about pickling, and I have a small garden here, and we grew some banana peppers. And I'm wondering, I know I can pickle those because we buy them, you know, already canned, but how can I do that here?
How can you pickle your peppers?
Uh-huh.
Well, there are a lot of ways to pickle peppers. And I think almost any of the methods would work with banana peppers.
Well, someone told me that you could use, like, water and vinegar and boil it and then just clean your peppers and pour it over them and then put them in the jar and have it like that. Have you ever heard of that?
Sure, that's basically right. I have a recipe for sweet pepper strips. You might cut them into strips and add sugar to the water and vinegar, and you can season it with garlic and ginger, if you like.
Can you give me the proportions? Like, is it 1 cup of vinegar to 3 cups of water? Or
okay, you're interested in the sweet pepper strips, then?
No, basically the more bitter, you know.
Okay,
the mild type.
Okay. Let's see. Here's a recipe that I think would work
okay.
Well. Short brined pickled peppers.
Uh-huh.
The brining enhances the flavor.
Okay,
so you have 4 pounds peppers.
Uh-huh.
You probably want to half or quarter them as well as seed them.
Right.
Because these are pretty big peppers.
Uh-huh.
Stir 1 1/4 cups pickling salt into a gallon of water to dissolve the salt.
Uh-huh.
And add the peppers. And let them stand in the brine for 12 to 18 hours.
12 to 18 hours?
Right.
Uh-huh.
Overnight or a little longer. Drain the peppers, rinse them, drain them again. And then in a saucepan, bring to a boil 2 tablespoons sugar, 2 chopped garlic cloves, a tablespoon grated horseradish. These flavorings are optional, by the way.
Right.
Okay, and 5 1/2 cups white wine vinegar or distilled white vinegar.
Okay.
And 1 1/2 cups water.
Okay.
Cover the pan, reduce the heat, and simmer for 10 minutes.
Okay.
Meanwhile, pack the peppers into 6-pint mason jars.
Mm-hmm.
Pour the hot liquid over the peppers, leaving 1/2 inch head space. That's the space at the top of the jar.
Uh-huh.
Close the jars with hot 2-piece caps. and then process them in a boiling water bath for 10 minutes.
Okay. And they should last for like a 6 months or so, right?
Or at least.
Yeah.
Probably a year or more.
Okay.
But generally, you try to use your canned goods.
Do you bring the water to a boil before you simmer them? You know, after you've put them in the mason jars?
Oh, after you've put them in the mason jars.
And you put them in your thing to cook them or simmer them?
Have the liquid, have the water in the canning kettle hot.
Okay.
You add the jars.
Okay.
And then turn up the heat and bring it to a boil.
Okay. Now, when you're putting all these ingredients, the sugar and the garlic and the horseradish, do you bring that to a boil?
For your pickling liquid, simmer that for 10 minutes.
Okay. But you don't have to bring it to a boil.
Yeah, bring it to a boil. Well, that's the way I do it. You bring it to a boil, reduce the heat, simmer 10 minutes.
Reduce the heat and then let it simmer.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Well, I'll try that.
Okay, good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Other calls are welcome in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455, or you can call us toll-free at 1-800-222-9455. That's if you're listening outside the Champaign-Urbana area. Our guest this afternoon is Linda Zedrick, author of The Joy of Pickling. This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580. I'm Celeste Quinn. Linda, you particularly enjoy brined or fermented pickles. Why?
Because they're more interesting,
yeah.
And the flavor is more interesting. It's more complex.
And this was very interesting. Fermentation preserves nutrients. Now, that makes sense to me. But you also say it can increase nutrients.
Yes, it can. I'm not sure if tests have been done on fermented cucumbers, but Korean scientists have tested kimchi, and they find that there are more vitamins in cabbage after it's fermented.
Hmm.
Really. That's true of sauerkraut, too.
Yeah. So what kinds of vegetables are good brined?
Well, cauliflower, broccoli, beans. I really love fermented green beans. Peppers are wonderful brined. Zucchini, peas. I'd use edible potted peas. The Russians love brined tomatoes. Usually when you brine tomatoes, you use green ones or ones that are just starting to ripen so they have a little red color. Carrots are also supposed to be good, though. I don't think I've tried them. And Brussels sprouts. And, of course, cabbage.
And how long does this curing process take?
It can vary a lot depending on the room temperature and the amount of salt used, but generally a week or two.
Mm-hmm. How long do brined pickles keep? And you advise us to store these in the refrigerator unless we're going to can them.
Right. It depends on how you store them. If you, it also depends on how much salt is used. If you intend the pickles to keep for more than a couple of weeks, you should use at least 4% a 4% salt brine. 5% is the norm. 5% would be 3/4 cup pickling salt to a gallon of water.
Mm.
But the easy way to do it is just to ferment the cucumbers in a jar, cucumbers or other vegetables, and then cap the jar and put it in the refrigerator. And it should keep well for several weeks that way.
Mm-hmm.
If you want it to keep longer in the refrigerator, you can strain the brine, rinse the vegetables, put them into a clean jar, bring the brine to a boil, skim off any scum, and possibly even strain it through cheesecloth to get to get a less cloudy brine. And the brine will always be cloudy, at least with cucumbers. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Fermented pickles have a cloudy brine. Then you pour the brine over the cucumbers or other vegetables in a clean jar, cap the jar, and store it in the refrigerator. And stored that way, they'll probably keep for 6 months.
Mm.
You want to make sure that they're completely immersed in the brine,
mm-hmm.
and that the jar is tightly capped. And if you see any mold or yeast starting to grow on top, you want to get rid of that immediately. But they'll probably keep well, as I said, for 6 months or more. If you can the pickles, it's a little more work, but you follow that same basic procedure. Instead of putting the cucumbers or other vegetables into a single jar, you'd probably use several quart jars or even pint jars. And you'd make sure that those jars are very clean. And you pour the hot brine over the cucumbers, seal the jars with hot two-piece caps, and then either give them a boiling water bath, or, a boiling water bath would usually be 10 minutes for pints, 15 minutes for quarts. A lot of people hate to do that boiling water bath, even though the USDA strongly recommends it.
Mm-hmm.
But it can soften cucumber pickles. So what you can do instead is put the jars into water, and again, they have to be immersed, for 30 minutes at 180 to 185 degrees. So then you have to be sure that you have an accurate thermometer, and you have to keep an eye on it, because if the temperature goes above 185 degrees, your pickles may soften.
Yeah. This is a method called low-temperature pasteurization, which you take us through in the book step by step.
That's right.
Yeah. Also, we've got some other callers waiting to talk with us. I'm going to get to those folks right away, but I do want to ask you about leaves. Can be used apparently as a way to help keep pickles firm. What kind of leaves can one use, and how do you include them in your pickle crock?
The favorite is grape leaves, and they really do work for keeping pickles firm. Sour cherry leaves work the same way, I found. The Russians particularly love to use leaves, and so I experimented with them and found that they really do work. They also use oak leaves, and I've used the oak leaves, but I haven't done a test to see if they really made a difference.
Okay.
Also, black currant leaves are used, but not to keep pickles firm. They're used for their flavor, a subtle smoky flavor.
Interesting. Let's go back to the phones. Our next caller is on line one in Champaign. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
I was wondering about lime pickles. I made some several years ago, and I was told to get the lime at a builder's place.
Oh, no, never do that.
And it didn't sound right to me. Where do you get it?
You can find it in some supermarkets. It needs to be labeled food-grade lime, and it would be with the other preserving supplies. If you can't find it at the supermarket, you can order it from Altrista Corporation. Altrista is the company that now owns both Ball and Kerr, the canning jar companies. Let me see if I can find a number for them. It's 800-240-3340. They have a catalog that they can send you.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call this afternoon, and our next caller is on line four in Charleston. Hi.
Hello. Just a comment on the kosher salt thing.
Uh-huh.
I was certified, this information may be slightly dated, I was certified for culinary food preparation in 1982. There's numerous different symbols to signify kosher. Different rabbis have their own symbol, and they don't always agree on the purity of the ingredients that they'll be using, which is a slight problem in kosher preparation. But kosher salt in general must come from an underground salt mine. That's really the key to the kosher salt. Now, not all kosher salts are pure salt anymore, though. So you'll have to look at your label on a kosher salt to find out if they've added any other type of anti-caking agents, which, according, you know, which your guest is trying to explain, will cause your pickles or anything that you preserve to become cloudy or set off tones and color to it. But that's really what kosher salt is. It's mined specifically from underground, unpolluted salt mines that have not been exposed to oxygen or surface oxygen. That was all I really wanted to say about it.
Well, thank you very much for your call.
Thank you. That's really interesting. So he's saying that kosher salt is not sea salt, but that it comes from underground, where there used to be a sea, of course. I haven't seen kosher salt with anti-caking agents, but the next time I buy some, I'll look on the box and make sure that they haven't been added.
Yeah. Isn't it something that you've got to look at the ingredients for your salt? You'd think that it would just be salt.
Yeah.
Not so. We're coming close to the end of time, and at the moment we don't have a caller waiting for us. Would you like to share a recipe that you're particularly fond of with us from The Joy of Pickling?
How about if I tell the listeners basically how to make brined pickles, cucumber pickles?
Great.
Okay. This will be a one-gallon recipe. You can use one of those gallon jars that restaurants use and often need to get rid of. They work great for this. And that's a size that makes a lot of pickles, but not too many for most people. So for a gallon jar, you'll use about 4 pounds of pickling cucumbers, and they should be not too big, 3 to 5 inches. If they're big, they may be really wet and seedy in the middle. They need to be fresh. You want to, if possible, use them the day that they're picked. And you need to rinse them well, make sure that any dirt is removed, but you don't want to scrub them because it's the bacteria on the cucumbers that causes a fermentation. You combine them in a jar with your seasonings. You can also add leaves. The leaves, probably grape leaves, you could also use sour cherry leaves if you have them, might go at the bottom and top of the jar. Some people put them around the sides. There are some places where people even wrap each cucumber in a grape leaf, and that may help the pickle stay a darker green, though I'm not quite sure about that. But anyway, you put the cucumbers into the jar, packing them as you like, with the leaves or without leaves, and with the seasonings that you like. Usually people use dill. You can use dill heads. Young ones are better than old ones. For a gallon, you might use 4 to 6. You can also use the dill fronds, the leafy part of the plant. It's got a slightly milder flavor than the heads. I like the flavor of the fronds. So you could use either heads or fronds or a combination of the two. Other things that you might add are chopped horseradish, mustard seed. Some people use celery stalks. You could add onions, small onions or shallots, peeled. You could add garlic. Usually when garlic's added, they're called kosher dills. So you could chop or slice several cloves of garlic. And there are other things you could add too, but that's enough to get you started. So you make the brine by stirring 6 tablespoons of pickling salt into 2 quarts water. And you pour that over the cucumbers in the jar to cover them. And you pour the extra brine into a plastic bag. I use a gallon-sized freezer bag, which you push into the top of the jar. So you pour the brine into the jar, pour the brine into the bag, seal the bag, and then set the jar aside, and it doesn't have to be in a really cold place. You can keep it right in your kitchen at about normal room temperature. Within 3 days, you should see tiny bubbles in the brine, and that means that fermentation has begun. If a scum forms on top of the brine, you need to skim it off every day. But with this method, you shouldn't get scum. If that bag is sealing out all air, which it should do, you shouldn't have any scum to skim off. So this is a really easy method. The pickle should be ready in about 2 to 3 weeks, maybe less time. The bubbling will have just about stopped, and the pickles will be sour and olive green throughout when you bite into one. And then you can store them in the refrigerator, or you can, if you like, put them into jars and process them by the method we already discussed.
Mm-hmm. The fermentation process, when things are going correctly, what does it smell like? How do you know that,
you know? It smells wonderful.
Yeah.
It's just a wonderful smell. Even if you don't like to eat pickles much, you'll enjoy the smell.
And, you know, you mentioned that you shouldn't have any scum. And if you do, you want to get rid of that right away. What if that continues to be a problem? I mean, I'm a little concerned about food safety. I'm sure everybody else is, too. You know, you want to make sure that your pickles are going to be, you know, taste good and you know, won't harm you.
Yeah. Well, the brine bag serves a couple of purposes. It keeps the cucumbers well submerged. It weighs them down, and it also seals out air. So normally that scum won't form. It's caused by yeast, and it's very common when you use another method, which you might do if you're putting the pickles into a crock, a straight-sided crock.
Mm-hmm.
Then a traditional way of weighting them down is by putting a plate on top and then putting something heavy on top of the plate. So
mm-hmm.
It might be a jar filled with water. It might be a big, clean rock. Air is still going to get in around the plate. And so you will get this yeasty scum on top. It always happens. And you need to skim it off at least every other day. If it builds up too much, it can change the pH.
Yeah.
But as long as you skim it regularly, there's no safety risk there at all.
Okay.
Even if mold appears, which occasionally happens, usually before fermentation really gets going, you can just skim that off. And as long as you get rid of it, your pickles will be fine.
Now, one thing I'm a little confused about is the brine in the freezer storage bag, you know, the 1 gallon bag. It could be just regular water, right?
It could be. The reason you use brine is in case the bag leaks.
Oh, aha. Aha.
Yeah, I always use, the reason I say freezer bag is because those bags that are called freezer bags are heavy plastic,
mm-hmm.
so they're much less likely to leak.
Right.
And I always try to use new ones rather than ones that I've used and washed several times because the used ones are likely to have tiny little tears along the edge, whereas new ones won't.
Okay.
But if you're using just plain water and that bag leaks, you're going to be sorry because you've just altered your brine
pH
radically.
Yep. Very interesting. Well, I hope we can talk again someday, and I'm going to work on that pickled ginger.
Great.
Thank you so much for talking with us this afternoon.
You're welcome. Thank you, Celeste.
Linda Zedrick has been our guest. Look for her book, The Joy of Pickling, 200 flavor-packed recipes for all kinds of produce from garden or market. It is published by the Harvard Common Press.